Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to an exciting Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You know, I went to bed really late last night, but I think I got the best sleep that I've gotten in years.
It was a satisfying day, and in many ways, satisfying in unexpected places.
Yeah, it was a great day. Hey, listen, everyone, in case you've been living under a rock over the past 24 hours, General Flynn is waiting for the judge to decide whether or not to accept the DOJ's dropping, for lack of a better word, of this case against him.
Now, what do you think the chances are that the judge continues to be a stick in the mud and pushes forward?
I mean, there would be no benefit to that. He could request a hearing to talk about it, but the DOJ doesn't want to prosecute this case. It's almost like if you were accosted and then you decide not to press charges, the police are not going to go forward and, you know, press charges.
Right.
Unless it was absolutely ridiculous. But they laid out in 20 pages with many exhibits I'm still reading through why they have no case. And I have to, you know, Undercover Huber did a thread about this. And he said, you know, he said some weird, not weird, but he said some stuff. A caution on the Flynn case, he says. Following the government's motion to dismiss, the defense agreed to withdraw all pending motions, including the plea to withdraw the guilty plea and compel further productions from Covington. Obviously, it makes sense from General Flynn's standpoint, but from the standpoint of Spygate, it means we won't be seeing the original 302 and any other evidence that could have been disclosed via more court filings. In fact, the motion relies on the edited version of the 302 rather than the original and doesn't say if it still exists. We're going to stop there. No, it really doesn't. It doesn't rely on the edited version. It points out that there was an edited version. I mean, he keeps going about how they're getting a pass by this happening, basically. But I disagree completely. I mean, this 20 pages calls out every player for their malfeasance. They even throw in the Comey clip, Frank.
Oh, yeah.
That we've been talking about so much over the past week or two.
No, this is... I actually just started... I know when you called in last night, that was a real great surprise. And since then, I was actually able to start going through at least some of the more popular excerpts of these transcripts that are going around, too.
Oh, yeah. That, too. We're going to get to that also.
Yeah.
But I do want to play a couple clips from Barr, courtesy of our friend Josh, a.k.a. Real Dirty, on
Go
Twitter.
Ahead.
Because, you know, I have to say something. There are very few people that I admire anymore for reasons that I don't think need to be explained, right? So one of them is Catherine Herridge. If you wanted, I don't even know what her politics are. Do you?
No, I don't. In fact, I've gone back and forth with is she still with CBS? What's going on there?
She's with CBS now. She left Fox for CBS, and she did not sacrifice a scintilla of her integrity in doing it.
Seriously, she's been very consistent with. I've always just seen her as one of those like true neutrals. In the world of, I mean, I'm sure she has her opinions and her biases, but as far as the work I've seen come out of her, she always seems to be like a true neutral person.
Agreed. It's fantastic. It's a breath of fresh air. It's actual reporting. Here's a couple clips of her interviewing William Barr yesterday.
I was concerned
about the Flynn case.
What should Americans take away from your actions in the Flynn case today?
I was concerned that people were feeling there were two standards of justice in this country, and that the political and that the justice or the law enforcement process was being used to play political games.
Based on new evidence, the Justice Department said the former National Security Advisor's 2017 FBI interview was unjustified and done without any legitimate investigative basis. Just a month into his administration, President Trump said he fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn for lying to Vice President Pence about his conversations with then Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak following the 2016 election. Later in December 2017, Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his conversations with the ambassador during the presidential transition. Flynn has since tried to withdraw his guilty plea. Does the fact remain that he lied?
Well, you know, people sometimes plead to things that turn out not to be crimes.
Newly unsealed documents show in early 2017, the FBI was going to close its investigation of Flynn, citing a lack of derogatory information. Then a senior FBI agent suddenly intervened.
They kept it open for the express purpose of trying to catch lay a perjury trap for General Flynn.
The reversal comes after multiple public statements from President Trump, who has said Flynn was treated unfairly.
He was targeted by the Obama administration.
There's one more.
In General Flynn's case.
No, I'm doing the law's bidding. I'm doing my duty under the law as I see it.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history's written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. But I think a fair history would say it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law. It upheld the standards of the Department of Justice, and it undid what was an injustice.
After the decision,
it did undo what was an injustice.
Yeah.
Did you cry? I cried.
I didn't cry, but I'm happy. I'm happy for a lot. I'm happy for the way that it is being very clearly analyzed and put forward. Like there is, and I also am very happy about those who are crying about it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm happy about. But like I said yesterday, It's a very odd sensation for me because it feels bittersweet. I love the sweetness of something finally happening and the idea that this is the perfect way to unclog the pipes and really let this rush of you know what we need further action, plenty of it. But the bitterness of it is just it reminds you about the great lengths that so many people went to make this to perpetrate this evil, and that's exactly what it is. It's not only on the Flynn family and Michael Flynn himself, but just it's psychological warfare waged on America. And you look at a lot of the people who will never recover from this psychologically. What they you know, truth is really the biggest victim here out of all the long line of victims in this scenario. It's I hope that we have not run out of sufficient time to really do the deep cleaning that is needed, because we're talking thousands of people, and if the media does not have a day of reckoning, then really what is all of this worth? They need to be destroyed.
They do. I agree. And you know what the best way to do that is? Ignore them. I'm so tired of everybody saying, but the media is saying, who cares? Who cares? They matter not at all anymore. Clearly, Bill Barr did not think about what the media would say when he decided to do this, right? So if he's not thinking about it, why do you guys care? We're giving them so much power that they don't deserve by caring what they have to say. It's fun to mock them and besmirch them and prove them wrong. I don't think we should stop doing that, but they don't have any power. Look at how far they have to go to try to even exert a win in their eyes. Look at how blatant they have to be now to even attempt to get any sort of quote win in their eyes. And look at how quickly that blows up in their faces over and over. Like, for example, Seth Abramson, Frank.
Oh, boy. Well, he, because I only saw a few select people yesterday, but
who'd
this must
see?
Be amazing.
Who'd you see? I'll go through the Seth thing in a second, but who'd you see?
I saw Wittes.
What did he say? I didn't see him.
Well, let me see if I can get it up on Twitter. I've been, I've been poking at Evelyn Farkas this morning. Cause we saw, cause she's another, that's another one of the transcripts that, there's nothing going on there. And she's, I told her not too long ago, cause she put up some really awkward photo. I heard about this shooting, this shooting of the jogger or whatever. And, you know, depending on whatever the hell's going on there, lock up, if there's a crime committed. Just I hope for justice, but of course people like Evelyn today are running, they're trying to fight for against injustice today. And they're all just running for cover now. They're running for cover. She's running for cover, she's not running for Congress. And and as far as the other people that go, let me see, what did Wittes say? Hold on. Wait. Oh, damn it.
I'm looking at it now. He's sharing right now. He's sharing messages that he's gotten from people.
Benjamin Wittes. Here he is. Yeah, no, damn it. All right. You know what? You just read it because I can't get to him.
Well, 11 hours ago, he said, "A day that will live in Flynn for me."
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, an unbelievable betrayal of the prosecutorial equities of the United States. I will have a lot more to say about this as soon as the filing is available. Oh, Lord. He's just been mocking people like he's wrong and he knows he's wrong. I mean, what he came out and said the other day is completely destroyed now in his little sanctimonious little nonsense that we talked about on the show. He was like, the judge isn't going to buy this. Yeah, well, take it and shove it.
Yeah, you know another person who is talking about Catherine Herridge being just, hey, listen, whatever's there, I'm going to talk about it. Michael Tracy, and he's written for the Young Turks in the past, I think Vice, and I haven't had him on the show yet, but I always wanted to. He's a liberal type guy, but he's been very fair with things like Russia and Michael Flynn. He put this out 19 hours ago, and this was an excerpt from the entire Flynn release here. And I'm going to read the excerpt first. It says, "Nor was anything said on the calls themselves to indicate an inappropriate relationship between Mr. Flynn and a foreign power. Indeed, Mr. Flynn's request that Russia avoid escalating tensions in response to U.S. sanctions in an effort to mollify geopolitical tensions was consistent with him advocating for, not against, the interests of the United States."
Yep.
At bottom, the arm's length communications gave no indication that Mr. Flynn was being, quote, directed and controlled by the Russian Federation, end quote, much less in a matter that threatened national security. They provided no factual basis for positing that Mr. Flynn had violated FARA, nor did the calls remotely transform Mr. Flynn into a viable candidate as a part of a larger umbrella case into Russian interference in 2016 presidential election. Michael Tracy put this forward yesterday, said the entire Mike Flynn saga, the manufactured controversy, the media leaks, his resignation and firing, and the later guilty plea was a huge factor in why the Russia scandal became so all-consuming. Now the basis for the entire episode has been 100% proven to be a complete farce. Now, people like Michael Tracy, like I said, everybody has their own biases and they have their own opinions. But these things like Flynn and Russia, for those out there who are of sound mind and they lean center left, and that's where their view of the world is, they look at these awful scandals and these lies as impediments to real progress.
Yes.
Because it destroys the ability to have an honest conversation about anything. And then what? Look like we're talking right now. 95% of the corporate media right now is trying to find ways to save face instead of actually admitting, because they can't, because they're implicated in the hoax. And as far as what Tracy said, it was easy for anybody to see that this was a a big farce unless you were a liberal masquerading as a moderate, or if you were somebody like Bill Kristol, because we knew that this was a wrap in summer of 2017. And it was that media and as far as the leaks go, the intelligence community gaslighting people for 3 years to follow.
Yes. Yes. And I've said this before and I'll say it again and again and again. When I started in earnest again on YouTube explaining the WikiLeaks emails back in 2016, a good majority of the people that were watching, I would say it was maybe split in half or leaned a little bit more left, were progressive Bernie supporters who, listen, I disagree with these people's politics up and down, and I will debate them on the merits of those every day. The thing is, for the most part, and I know that there's going to be people that don't agree with me, these are brilliant, logical, fair people that really do care about the truth. They do. And I think Michael Tracy fits in that category. I can disagree with him on policy and still respect him for at least having the integrity to know when a lie is being thrust upon the American people in such a way. Like, I'm sure that if we talked to him, he would say, I would like to win on the merits, not because of a cheat. I mean, just look at what they did to Bernie Sanders. So, and you know, I think that everything that this is everything that we need right now, because no, it doesn't necessarily mean that these people are going to vote for President Trump. I don't know that people principled like Michael could stand to vote for Joe Biden. And, you know, maybe it's not necessary in an electoral sense per se, but maybe it is, who knows. But in order for this country to get back to any sense of normalcy and justice, we need to team up with folks like this who see it for what it is, even if they are on the left.
Yep.
And then there's Seth Abramson.
Tell me what he's saying. Oh,
God. He goes through a big thread like he normally does. Hat tap to Lindsay, who knows who he is. Michael Flynn is a liar, traitor, and foreign agent who sought to sell U.S. foreign policy for profit. Now, remember, as you're listening to this, if you put Hillary Clinton in there, it would make perfect sense, right? He usurped authority from the Obama administration and should be in prison. And yes, I established this across two books, 1,000 plus pages and 7,500 citations. Just because you use a citation doesn't mean you're A, referencing it correctly, or B, it makes your argument any stronger. Rule of law isn't something a nation can, quote, mostly have. You think? If the top intelligence advisor to the president of the United States can be absolved of grotesque treachery to the nation at the hands of a presidential puppet AG, no less, we cannot say our nation maintains rule of law. I've spilled more words in print on Flynn than any U.S. author. Freaking ridiculous. He keeps going on and on and on. No words for what American attorneys are feeling right now. We swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and we're now seeing that oath being prostituted.
Yes, I love when one little sourpuss goes to speak for American attorneys.
Everyone,
American attorneys, they managed to dig up like a 200 former federal prosecutors that signed some kind of a petition that they think that the attorney general should be gone. And like, oh my God, 200 former federal prosecutors, when there's like 1,000 of them that are currently working in New York alone. It's like, do you know how you can go and you can dig up prejudiced lawyers in any street gutter and turn it into a propaganda piece? I love when people speak on behalf of millions. It's unbelievable.
Seth then goes on to say, if any of you had done what Flynn did, you would die in a federal prison. Even if Flynn's only crime had been lying repeatedly to federal agents in early 2017. Lying repeatedly? Really? Really? He has no idea what he's talking about. The rest of it's moot. When you say lying repeatedly, you don't know the case. You don't know the case. You're a propagandist. this guy is the biggest lefty conspiracy theorist on the face of the earth. And he gets a, you know, for everybody talking about right-wing conspiracy theorists, this guy gets a platform on CNN and MSNBC and, yeah. No worries there. So, I did a video that goes through this entire 20 pages and explains it all, which I'll post in the show notes below. And then, if, I don't know if you're breaking out yesterday's thing as a clip or not, Frank, but I will post your show in the description box so people can get the Farah explanation.
Oh yeah, you know, I can, at the very least I can find the timestamp for now. But I can make both of those highlights. You and I had Fleckus on in the first half, so that was a real treat last night having two big guests.
Aw, thanks. That was nice.
Yeah.
It was
very nice of me.
It was really nice of you, and you're always nice to me, which is great. I was giving you the treat of crickets, though, so, you know, I mean, it's necessary.
Oh, and that was amazing, by the way, because it just – I know this is off topic real quick, but Tracy called in last night from, I guess, her backyard or something, and there was just the sound of crickets in the air, and it just did something to me. It didn't just make me – nostalgic for the summer. It brought me back like years, you know. It was really weird. It was the sound of crickets in the summertime, especially up here. It brings me to just a completely different point in time, and it was a really nice mini vacation for me.
I often go out very, very, very late at night and sit on my little chair that I invested in for myself in the back because it's where I do a lot of work. And read. And I sat out there and I look up at the stars because it's very dark here. So you could see all the stars. And I just listen to the crickets. And I think to myself, thank goodness that this is where I am. Because it's just a beautiful place to be. So I love it here. So the details of this, again, are pretty clear. I don't agree with Undercover Huber on this. I think they very clearly spelled out the issues. Now, will we get Peter Strzok and Joseph Pienka on the stand? No, probably not. We won't. But that doesn't mean that they won't be on the stand elsewhere because these people are looped into the rest of it. And look, I don't think that Bill Barr is taking any shortcuts here. This was a huge deal. This was the beginning. And speaking of the beginning, I want everybody, I really am serious about this. Richard Grenell releasing those transcripts or saying these transcripts are ready to go. And then Adam Schiff begrudgingly having to release these things yesterday at like, I don't know, right after we got the Flynn news, we got these transcripts from Shifty Schiff. And you read some, right? Did you read some?
Oh, yeah, excerpts, of course.
Good, but that's fine. Keep those. And we're going to go through really quickly and read what this traitorous, disgusting, nonsense guy, I don't even know how a traitor, puts as his entry, has his on the House website, puts as his explanation of these transcripts, right? Not only that, how many people on the left do you think are going to go through and read these?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm serious. How many?
I don't know. Maybe 15%.
Just and they'll probably end up just throwing them away because they'll get frustrated.
15% and maybe about 8% of them will actually have some sort of a tugging of the heart to say, oh, no. Oh, no. What do I do? Because at that point, you're talking about A, years lost. You're talking about you have to face certain people that you promised would be on the losing side of history. You also, I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, Adam Schiff literally went out in front of everybody for years saying they had hard evidence that Russians colluded with the Trump campaign. And Lee Smith said, one of the basic things he said is that every single one of these witnesses is going to say they had no evidence that the Trump campaign was colluding with Russia. That's great, but there is a lot more in these transcripts than just that, and we'll get into a couple little excerpts of it. And again, I just have to say how excited and proud and gleeful and just overwhelmed with emotion I am and happiness for the Flynn family. I just can't get over it. It was just the best feeling yesterday. And then seeing him post that clip of Mike Jr.'s son, Travis, which was just adorable, of him saying the pledge. Did you see that?
I did.
Just adorable.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of his friends, too, General Flynn's friends, said he is happy for the country today, not even himself. And I believe that. I mean, the man is the most patriotic guy. He loves this country and he still loves this country. I talked about this. Can you imagine going through what he went through and still loving the country? I would be so... I don't know if I could do it.
I don't know. My thing is, I'm thinking about his immediate future and how... me, selfishly, I'm like... Don't stop now, General Flynn, please. Go and just smite your enemies.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I wouldn't blame him if he just wants to disappear for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, so it's like I'm thinking selfishly when I'm like, please, please. I mean, oh, God, we watch this and you just want – you want to see people – I don't know. The thirst for vengeance is unbelievable. But at the same time, I hope that he's able to at least sue the hell
out of everyone.
Out of the government.
Yes.
Sue the hell. To be able to recoup everything he lost and then maybe go on a vacation, even though I would love to see him be reabsorbed by the Trump administration and really allow him to go scorched earth like he was going to be.
The next 4 years.
Oh. God. Oh, God, please.
Oh.
Oh. So, I don't know. It's a weird mix of me being, you know, understanding that this is a guy who's gone through a lot, and I just want him and his family to have a vacation from all this. And at the other hand, it's just my selfish go-get-him attitude. Keep pushing, keep pushing. You're not done yet. You're not done yet.
I hope they have a big party, and I hope – not that this would happen, but I hope I'm invited to it.
There should be a big party at Trump Tower.
Yeah. We should definitely have a huge party. Yep. Uh-huh.
You know. When they let us out of the house in 5 years.
Yeah. That's a whole nother story, which we can talk about at the end if we have any time. Yeah. I'm really glad to not be talking about this stupid quarantine pandemic nonsense right now. But let's read quickly what Adam Schiff had to say about this. This is, and let me tell you, this is just the beginning. Grinnell is like, he's like walking away. I always share the meme of that girl walking away from the exploded building saying, burn it all down. That's what I feel like a lot. And I share that. And that's, I did like a story and gifs of how things are going to play out over the next couple weeks.
Yep.
And we're in some rooms together. We get a little bit of a little head nod here and there, right, Frank? I mean,
Yeah, they're very they're good, nice head nods.
Yeah. So
I don't get much else, so.
That's what she said.
Twice today you were ready to pounce.
Republicans pounce. Okay. Materials from the committee's investigation into Russian active measures. In 2017 and 18, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence undertook an investigation into Russia's interference campaign targeting the 2016 U.S. election. The committee's investigation came on the heels of an intelligence community assessment which found, quote, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. presidential election. Russia's goals were to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process, which the Democrats have done. All on their own, denigrate Secretary Clinton and harm her electability and potential presidency. We further assess Putin and the Russian government developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump. Democrats on the committee affirmed that judgment, as did Special Counsel Robert Mueller and the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee. Throughout its investigation, the committee uncovered significant evidence of Trump campaign efforts to seek, make use of, and cover up Russian help in the 2016 presidential election. No, that didn't happen. To date, two witnesses have been convicted and sentenced to prison terms for lying and attempting to obstruct the committee's investigation. Ultimately, this pattern of misconduct and deceit continued when President Trump once again sought to coerce a foreign government into providing him illicit assistance with his reelection campaign, this time from Ukraine. For his efforts, Trump was...
From Ukraine!
You like what I said there.
Next time, it'll be from Mongolia.
Turkey. Sorry. For his efforts, President Trump was impeached in the House and became the first ever U.S. president to receive bipartisan votes to convict in the Senate. One senator. We can't say it was bipartisan not to impeach, but they can say it was bipartisan to impeach.
Yeah, because it was because it was Mitt Romney. Who gave them one vote on one article?
I know. Every time you talk like that, I picture like one of those old school cartoons where they draw like the emperor with the long hair and he's wearing the weird clothes and he's got a scroll in his hand. Romney.
Yeah.
Is this conduct okay, they ask? Here's the statement from Schiff. After releasing the transcripts, he stated, "Oh gosh, please help me. From 2017 to 2018, the House Intelligence Committee conducted an investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election. Despite the many barriers put in our way by the then Republican majority and attempts by some key witnesses to lie to us and obstruct our investigation, the transcripts we are releasing today show precisely what Special Counsel Mueller also revealed, that the Trump campaign and Donald Trump himself invited illicit Russian help, made full use of that help, and then lied and obstructed the investigations in order to cover up this misconduct. Unfortunately, the president's misconduct did not end with his election in 2016 or his attempts to cover up that effort. Rather, in the course of his presidency, he continued to seek illicit foreign help in his campaign by coercing another nation, Ukraine, to smear his opponent. After making use of Russia's help with the first presidential campaign, Trump pressed the Ukraine president to help him in 2020 by withholding critical military aid, blah, blah, blah. These acts ultimately led to the president's impeachment. The transcripts released today richly detail evidence of the Trump campaign's effort to invite, make use of, and cover up Russia's help in the 2016 election. Mueller identified in his report similar and even more extensive evidence of improper links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And then they go through all these talking points. I mean, it's all bull. It's none of it's real. It's not real, Frank.
Well, I mean, what do you expect? You see what's trending on Twitter today? What do you expect?
What's trending on Twitter?
Number one right now is Trump depression because the job report is out. You want to talk about reality. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you talk about. On the front page of most mainstream news sites, they're talking about this shooting of a black jogger or something like that. It was from a couple of months ago or something like that. But the way that it's being father and son charged with hunting black man. And now of course everybody's showing. It's becoming the Trayvon Martin marketing all over again, and there's that, and the job report, and they're trying to find a way to not even really talk about the virus. It's just the economy's crashing, and black men are being hunted by father and son duos. That's it. And people like Lori Lightfoot from Chicago are able to get in front of news cameras and talk about how they're going to treat everybody in the city like criminals if they go outside for a walk. Meanwhile, there are people that are hunted down and shot to death every day in droves in that city. But once again, we're seeing cherry picked news media at a time when they need something to divert our eyes to.
I'm reading this Daily Mail article about the shooting, because I haven't really looked at it at all. And they make a point to say how much their house costs, like over and over, this $280,000 home. And then under the picture, they say the scene around the $280,000 house fell quiet after. I mean, they're living in a tiny little ranch. Like, I don't. understand. What are you trying to do?
And here's the thing. The thing that gets me is, you know, a life was lost, and perhaps perhaps when it all shakes out, it is an awful tragedy, and these two people need to be brought to justice immediately. But that's secondary to how it is being used. It's always secondary to how the media latches onto something and anoints one story.
Why this one? I don't understand.
What was there to understand? Evelyn Farkas, an hour ago, okay, one of these the coup plotters over here and the unmaskers and all of that. She has a transcript of her own in the 53.
Oh,
Evelyn Farkas, an hour ago, she tweets this: "The murder of Ahmaud Arbery is a disgusting violation of justice. Yet another tragic example of systemic racism in America. In Congress, I will fight for justice for Ahmaud, Trayvon, Garner, and every black life cruelly and carelessly taken from this earth."
Is she running for Congress?
She's running for my district. Chelsea Clinton stepped aside. Chelsea Clinton was supposed to be running in my district. She stepped aside because Evelyn needs a place to run for cover.
No, yeah, Evelyn needs to be running for Congress so she can't get convicted or arrested for lying.
Well, yeah, or she can once again claim political persecution because she's not as popular as her sorority sisters.
Yeah, no.
She's like the ugly cheerleader.
She screwed up. That's why.
She's the ugly cheerleader. She needs to run for Congress now to escape. To give herself something to lean on. And of course, this is what everybody's doing. They're talking about the jobs reports and how it's a depression because of Trump, even though they're giddy. They're giddy about it. And
she admitted in her transcript that she didn't have any evidence of Russian collusion.
Yeah, well, but the quote was, I didn't know anything.
But if she didn't know anything, then what the frig was she talking about when she talked about laundering intelligence against the rules and that?
It wasn't even laundering. It was just quick. We need to get this out. Spread it before the Trump administration shows up and they make everything go away. Well, what's everything if you don't know anything?
Yeah, she's in trouble. She's in trouble.
Well, she should be. She should be. But, you know, this is going to happen before November then. In my district, you can put you can make a lollipop run for district. As long as they have a blue tie, they're going to get into Congress. As long as they're wearing a blue tie, they're going to get into Congress. No, man, Nita Lowey didn't even have to make public appearances every 2 years.
Real quick, though, Frank, before we go any further, we have to say this show is brought to everyone by a very special friend. Mac Weldon.
Oh, yes. I love Mac Weldon.
Listen, I got to be honest. My family has all bought Mac Weldon. They're obsessed with it now. The sweatpants, my brother-in-law, he loves these sweatpants.
I haven't gotten sweatpants yet, and now I just got reminded that I haven't gotten them yet. I wanted to go and get myself a pair. In the holiday season when we first did a Mac Weldon read, and I was actually able to take a look at some of their stuff, and I got a sweater and I got these really awesome pants. I wore them for at least three great special occasions already, and I love it. I got to go back. I got to get some loungy gear and other things, but it made me feel regal, and I don't feel regal often, so I like this.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like my brother-in-law swears by these. I mean, he's bought so much since then. He loves it. And I know a bunch of our listeners have as well. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping, which was really easy. I was going there to buy a gift for someone. Their website is so intuitive. It's not even funny. They'll be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants and more that you will ever wear. They actually have a line of what's called silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, and they want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. For 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com and enter the promo code DARKTOLIGHT. Make sure you get over there, use that promo code macweldon.com, DARKTOLIGHT, and Frank, make sure you keep supporting these folks because they're good to us.
I think I just might go use the promo code myself.
You should. Mack Weldon.
Yeah, I need those sweatpants.
You need more sweatpants. More.
I need more. I need all the sweatpants.
Thank you, Mac Weldon. Let's go through some transcript stuff then, shall we?
Sure.
A couple of them caught my eye that I wanted to take a look at immediately because they go to more of the underlying story here, meaning the emails. And a lot of people aren't looking into that. So I haven't read Sean Henry yet. He's in there. But I have read John Podesta's first one. And then after I read John Podesta's first one, I went right to David Kramer. Because David Kramer, do you know much about David Kramer?
The name is familiar, but so, what?
Yeah, so David Kramer worked with... Okay, so David Kramer ties into the whole Ukraine thing too, okay? David Kramer worked with John McCain at the McCain Institute, but he was also a Russia-Ukraine expert.
Oh, wait, is this the guy that either gave the dossier to McCain or McCain gave it to him?
He gave it to McCain.
Okay.
So we get in his, he has two sets of testimony. I've read through the first, and I found so many gems in just the very first. He tells them that he was at this meeting when I believe it was Dearlove comes up to him and says, hey, you know, there's a British guy, Christopher Steele, who runs Orbis Business Intelligence. And he has put together this information about President, you know, or candidate Trump possibly being manipulated and under the control of the Russians. And McCain, they wanted to get it to McCain so that McCain could do something with it. Because Christopher Steele was worried that the FBI wasn't doing anything with it, which doesn't make any sense. They just want more corroboration is what they want. So McCain asks Kramer, would you go to London and meet with Christopher Steele? And Kramer's like, okay, I will. And he pays for it all by himself. McCain doesn't pay for it. So he goes to London. Christopher Steele, he's never met him or talked to him before. Christopher Steele meets him in the airport. Basically, they joke about it in the hearing. He's wearing a plaid shirt and he's holding a sign that says Kramer or whatever. He said he would be holding a Times of London paper. He ends up finding Christopher Steele. They drive over to Christopher Steele's house. David Kramer takes a shower because he was on an overnight flight. Then they spend the next 4 hours talking about the dossier. Christopher Steele lets him read the dossier, shows him who his sources are, does not let him take a copy of the dossier, and he goes back to the United States right from Christopher Steele's house. He meets with John McCain and tells him about what was in the dossier, and then he meets with Glenn Simpson, and he keeps in contact with Christopher Steele quite frequently on the phone. Christopher Steele starts sending him reporters to talk to. One of those reporters, Frank, is Bernstein.
From Bernstein and Woodward?
Yes.
Oh, what else?
So not only that, Kramer, they ask him in there. They ask him, is there anything that Steele told you that didn't make the dossier? And he says, there was one thing he mentioned to me that's not included here. And that is that he believed that Mr. Flynn had an extramarital affair with a Russian woman in the UK.
Svetlana.
Our friend.
God.
And in the time since meeting.
I hope that dinner was worth it.
I mean,
at this point, they might as well have had an affair.
I know. I love that she says her daughter was literally born into a crossfire hurricane. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Schiff goes, and in the time since that meeting you had with Christopher Steele, many contacts between the Trump administration, transition team, etc., have become public. In your subsequent conversations with Mr. Steele, and in light of what became public, did he have any observations about the public events shedding new and additional light on what he had uncovered through his sources? And Kramer says, I think the bulk of the exposure of contacts came after he and I had been in contact and we ended our contact. It seemed clear to me that Michael Flynn in December of 2015 was in Moscow for an RT dinner, and subsequently we learned he had been paid for that. So that right there, it seemed to both of us there had been a contact on a fairly open basis. I mean, there was nothing hidden about that. There were pictures of General Flynn sitting at Mr. Putin's table from December 2015. That's interesting to me because it proves that Halper was working with Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Which proves the entire point that Halper was laundering things into. Why didn't they put that in there? Why didn't they put that in there? Because they were going to use that separately in the opening of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. We got the opening, Frank. We got the opening document. What they used to open the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Hold on. Let me read it because it's important. I swear, my Pacer bill, even though recap is available, my Pacer bill this quarter...
You have to pay per document you view?
Per page.
What? How much per page?
10 cents. So it's 10 cents per page, and my bill this month was $310, just to give you an idea.
That's like using the old Xerox machine at the pharmacy.
Yes.
25 cents if you want color.
So the opening document, this is what Svetlana said that we really needed to see. I'm downloading them now. $10.80. For 108 pages. Hold on.
Man.
Supposed to be downloading them right now. Again, with the landscaping. What? Do you hear that?
Yeah, nothing over here. The painters were going to be over here working today, but there is, it's once again an overcast, threatening with rain kind of a day. So It's like, what are you going to do?
So I got it here. Here we go. Hold on. There's a lot of exhibits. I told you about those last night. There are 12 exhibits. No, I don't want to help improve Adobe products. I just want to read this. Hold on. Bear with me. I'm going to pause a second.
Okay.
The opening of the Crossfire Razor investigation, the investigation into General Flynn. The FBI is opening a full investigation based on an articulable factual basis that reasonably indicates that Crossfire Razor may wittingly or unwittingly be involved in activity on behalf of the Russian Federation, which may constitute a federal crime or threat to national security. This is it. The goal, hold on. Okay. Specifically, Crossfire Razor has been cited as an advisor to the Trump team on foreign policy issues February 2016. He has ties to various state-affiliated entities of the Russian Federation. Ready? As reported by open source information. This is what they used to open the investigation into him.
Mm.
That would be like me writing an article about how Seth Abramson is with the Mossad. And then the FBI opening investigation into Seth Abramson. Think about that. That figure, somebody who doesn't like Seth Abramson within the government comes to me and says, hey, listen, we're going to give you this information about Seth Abramson being with the Mossad. Do us a favor. Write us a few articles. Friendly press people, write us some articles about Seth Abramson being with the Mossad, allegedly. And we're going to publish those. And then we're going to use those to open up an investigation into Seth Abramson.
Well, I mean, that's the entire story of
literally,
the dossier.
Literally.
It's the entire story of it all.
So, there's more. David Kramer tells us in his testimony that he is communicating the dossier allegations to MI6 in the UK on a real-time basis. Like, think about that. Doesn't that make the letter that was written to General Flynn even more from the UK, even more important? Christopher Steele has no credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Nuland.
He's another one that I mean, you want to see somebody who's completely fallen apart as far as what his public image is and what he's been forced to admit in official settings in the last couple of months and everything. Man, oh man, there's not one leg to stand on anymore. It really is just it's just a matter of letting the babies cry it out in their cribs.
Victoria Nuland, Frank. Victoria Nuland is mentioned by name by Kramer. Do you remember our friend Victoria Nuland was a big focus? Not only was she a big focus there, but with Ukraine as well. And David Kramer and Bill Taylor, Ambassador Bill Taylor, the Democrat star witness that worked for a Soros-funded NGO, all three of these people are intimately familiar with one another. Kramer tells the Hipsy that members high up in the State Department know about this, including Victoria Nuland. Kramer is also good friends with somebody that may ring a bell to you, Kurt Volker. Kurt Volker, witness in the impeachment. David Kramer literally says in here that he is a never Trump Republican. I'm just saying it's all tied in together. I have more, but I also have texted myself today a note to listen to play the Dan Bongino show from yesterday at 37 minutes, and I don't remember why. So we're going to just play it. Because there was a good reason, because I never usually play clips of Dan Bongino on the show.
You know, did he? I haven't listened to him in a couple of days. Did he release yesterday's episode prior to the news or
prior? Like, yeah, prior.
Okay, so then today's episode is probably going to be dynamite then.
Yes.
Because he'll already have had time to read transcripts and all that.
Yeah, or get information from other folks who have. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
You too may be snitched on. From the piece, you're going to go snitching on people? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure you're aware, but a lot of that's public record. From the Reason piece, the county, this is a county in St. Louis, received more than 900 complaints by snitching.
Oh, wrong show. That's not the right one. Hold on. What was yesterday, Thursday?
Here we go.
Get ready to hear the truth about America. On a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, I said 37, Dan right? Bongino.
You said 37, yeah.
Is in a total meltdown. Total. It seemed like they were up to something nefarious. They seem like real gems, don't they? Well, here's this piece in Red State. It'll be in the show notes today, but it's worth your time again. Just following on yesterday's show about Van Grack and the Mueller team before I even get to the declassified scope memo now.
Oh, yeah,
this Van Grack, yeah, he was pretty heavily involved in this little side deal. Remember where they threatened Mike Flynn's son with prosecution and then hid the side deal? Red State, Elizabeth Vaughn, the great Elizabeth Vaughn. She does good stuff. The spotlight shines on Flynn prosecutor Brendan Van Grack. Spoiler, he's not looking good. Now, it's a long piece in the show notes, but I want to just hammer this part again to show you how awful Van Grack, who worked for Mueller and their team when he wasn't sleeping, you know, sleepy eyes, Van Grack, when he woke up during the trial, you know, hey, Van Grack, the judge said, Mr. Van Grack, sorry, judge. Okay. When he was awake during the trial, apparently he was hiding things. Why are you giving me, what was that about?
The wrong time. I wanted to hear that clip. Van Grack, a juror from the Manafort trial, came forward and said that Brendan Van Grack was sleeping through the trial. Sleeping.
This Van Grack guy, I got to know more about.
He stepped back from a lot of cases he was on yesterday. A lot of them. Frank, the scope memo. Let's talk about that before we end. That's another thing I wanted to touch on, and thank you, Dan Bongino, for reminding me. The scope memo, the Rosenstein scope memo that he gave to Robert Mueller to guide his investigation was really pretty much declassified outside of one target in the investigation that we don't know who it is still. And I'm going to guess, like Dan Bongino did, it's probably Michael Cohen. And that would make Felix Sater all the more important. And we've talked about him at length, and he hasn't been brought up in a long time, but he, I think, was also a confidential human source. So the scope memo was redacted and unredacted, and they literally went after General Flynn for the Logan Act. Rosenstein had Mueller going after General Flynn for the Logan Act in the special counsel. Tell me again how he's a good guy. Somebody please tell me. Can someone tell me? As a matter of fact, President Trump commented about why he didn't fire Rosenstein yesterday. You'll see things coming out, but I learned a lot from Richard Nixon. Don't fire people. The firing of everybody. I should have in one way, but I'm glad I didn't because look at the way it turned out. They're all a bunch of crooks and they got caught.
Oh, and they got caught. Well,
every time I hear got caught, I think of freaking Adam Schiff during the impeachment hearings.
Yeah, and he got caught.
He got caught. I'm going to try and...
No, it's just too much. Well, hey, I don't... good, good. I hope we catch them all.
Yeah.
What can we say? But it's nice to finally... I was hoping that we were going to get around to this maybe around 2018. But it's better late than never. What do you think now? Let me get some projections since we're coming up on the end at some point here. Projections now that you said it last night on the show that the snowball has been cast off the side of the mountain. Let's see what it turns into with the time that we have just before the election alone. What's your projection of what can actually be achieved here?
A lot can be achieved. A lot can be achieved. They wouldn't be getting, this wouldn't be happening now if we weren't getting ready for, and I disagree with Lee Smith, and you know, you heard me disagree with him on the show, that this is to seed the, to like educate the public, and he doesn't think that that's what it's for, and I do. I absolutely do. The slow drip of information that's coming out now, Grinnell handing a satchel full of documents over to the AG. If you guys think that this isn't planned out, Frank, of course it's planned out. I think we're going to see indictments coming very soon. Very soon. We're going to see indictments coming. Shannon Bream, if you're still catching your breath from today, I'm told next week will involve a bombshell. There's going to be something coming out today, Frank. There's going to be something coming out.
And then next week too?
Yeah, next week. It's going to start now. This is it. I'm not going to go to sleep for the next gosh knows how many. I don't even know.
A few weeks.
A few weeks at least. I said, is it apropos to start the TikTok meme again?
Maybe.
Here, let's listen to here.
My Republican colleagues, all they seem to be upset about with this is not that the president sought an investigation of his political rival. Not that he withheld a White House meeting and $400 million in aid we all pass on a bipartisan basis to pressure Ukraine to do those investigations. Their objection is he got caught. Their objection is that someone blew the whistle.
Who? Oh, yeah, someone we still don't know. Someone we still don't know. Oh man. Now what?
I mean, Adam Schiff is in deep Schiff. He's in deep Schiff. He is freaking out.
I hope he actually says, I got caught.
I got caught. Caught. Those little, what is it, like one of those marionettes, like the scary little puppet clowns, like from Saw with those cheeks. I got caught.
Unbelievable.
So I was listening to some Devin Nunes, Congressman Nunes clips. Ugh, what a hero that man is, I swear. Can you imagine, if it weren't for him way back in 2017, beginning to start, I mean, what? He is like a national treasure. He's a national treasure. What about if there were no Congressman Nunes, what would we do?
I don't know. I don't, because who else would there have been in that position, and who else would have not cared about the pressure that was immediately applied to him with the ethics investigation and everything? I mean, it was immediate pressure that was placed on him and intimidations. So it just right man, right time, and just the perfect ethic.
Yeah, an actual real here, the opposite of this.
Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, who is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. First, let me just ask your reaction to the Department of Justice's move here.
Chris, I think we lost 50 years worth of ground in solidifying the independence of the Justice Department after Watergate. This really puts us back in the category of almost an emerging democracy where the rule of law is not yet firmly established, where prosecutorial decisions are made on the basis of politics. You know, Bill Barr once again doing the political dirty work for the president in making a case go away that the president tried to get Jim Comey to make go away and then fired him when he wouldn't. Tried to get Jeff Sessions.
Not only that, I listen, Jim Comey was at odds with the Justice Department. They were so angry that he sent those agents over to interview General Flynn. He was rogue on this, completely rogue. He pushed back against the Department of Justice about letting the White House know what was going on with General Flynn in their eyes, in quotes, with this whole conversation with Kislyak. It's very strange. I'm still trying to piece through it, but there's some reason why Jim Comey went rogue on this.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it yet.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But to listen to him even talk about emerging democracy, that we've gone 50. And that is the ultimate irony here when we even just talk about the press, where you're observing people who are ignoring what in another time, in another circumstance, perhaps, would be the most, I mean, a real journalist would be licking their, and many real journalists are licking their chops, and they have not wasted and squandered the opportunity to cover something that is so many times bigger than Watergate. And people like you, Tracy, have been doing that, and a lot of your colleagues and staffers at Uncover DC, and all of our,
you too,
you know. Well, I mean, I conduct what you would, the kind of conversations you would have in a bar somewhere. You know, I'm not out there digging. I'm not trying to be an investigator, and I'm not a journalist. I don't care about getting things right. About getting things right off the bat, and we just talk, and then as time goes on, it develops. But on the other hand, the people who get up there, the anchors every night that want to bring you the hard pressed facts of the day, they've actually committed to being on the other side of Watergate. So it's really unbelievable. And then to say we're like an emerging democracy now, which is ridiculous, because number one, the emerging American Republic, we were never more firm in our beliefs about what the lines drawn between government action and individuals' rights were than at our beginning. And every
day
since.
Yeah, it was so much more pure.
Oh, yeah. Every day since, we've only lost – we've lost little pieces of ourselves every day since, to now here we are 200 some odd years later, and the average person doesn't have any kind of insight into even where we started. I mean, we know the stories. We know the stories about the British regulars and the American colonists, and there was a fight and the Constitution and some of the founding fathers' names, but we've lost a lot of context just because of the bad habits that both Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, everybody have been acquiring over at least the last decade, the last couple of decades alone. It's hard. So this guy, he really just plays on the fact that he believes he can go up there and say anything and it will have this air of authority that comes with it. And some people will go, oh my God, we're really like an emerging. If there were people online at a Dunkin' Donuts today, you know that there would be people saying, well, we're like an emerging democracy now. They hear people like Adam Schiff say things like emerging democracy.
Corpus of intelligence.
I have to find a way to use this today. That's a great phrase. That's all it is. It's just phrases and parrot talk and nonsense.
We're going to do something desperate, Frank. I got more things to do before we end. We're at one hour now. It's going to be very quick. A thing just passed across my timeline that has 234,000 views and a description that says, a doctor with absolutely no left to give grabs a microphone and absolutely destroys Democrats in their nationwide coronavirus shutdown. And he's standing on the steps of a hospital, it appears. You want to listen to what he has to say real quick?
Sure. Is he a doctor with the right opinion, though? Because then he's going to be a quack if he doesn't say the right thing.
We're going to find out. He's dressed in his doctor gear.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective? My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do. Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Yet at the same time, it's essential to keep pot dispensaries open. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's not essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm.
It's almost over.
When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on. This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government.
All right.
I like it.
I got one more. I got one more for you. We're going to end with this. So let's just end the show and then I'll play it. Okay?
Go ahead.
You have been listening to the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
me, Mrs. Beans!
That's right. And a special tip of the cap to the Flynn family.
Amen. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Don't go anywhere. Listen to this ending.
Later.
I made it to the block. I made the States of America. I told them Republic. Well, what's it stand? The nation under God, indivisible, of liberty, and this is the end.
All right, ready?
This is an MMA report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I firmly believe that the UFC in the state of Florida is going to do everything possible to make sure that the fighters and cornermen and everyone working, you know, these upcoming events in Jacksonville, we put in a safe environment. Because look, if something bad were to happen, I don't know how this sport could recover. Some of the things I've seen over the past couple of days, Daniel, there's part of me that goes, man, are there people rooting for the UFC to not succeed here?
And I mean, look, it's a very tough thing to project on someone without them saying that, but certainly, I would imagine there are people who see the UFC kind of running in the face of advice from medical officials, especially in the early going, and being like, they probably would like to see the comeuppance for the UFC. But I don't know if that's super pronounced, because it's kind of a messed up thing to wish on someone, right? Like to wish on, because those are real human beings that will get the disease. But it's a very tough thing to balance, because like, in one perspective, you want to be positive and you want to be like, all right, they put together a safe event. But on the other hand, even if they do pull off everything going according to plan, it's very much like the way I would look at like Moneyball with the Oakland Athletics, for example, is that they put themselves in the... basically, the result doesn't justify the process is what I'm getting at here, in terms of like, so many times this result will happen, but the question is, was it the right process? And for the UFC, I think there are some serious questions about whether it's not the right process. And the big reason why is that mixed martial arts isn't essential business. It's not that. It's a sport. So that's why I hesitate to like overly applaud the UFC for putting together this event, because the other thing I kind of disagree with is I don't think they're doing everything in their power. I think they're doing a whole lot in their power.
The MMA Report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.